food bloggers. Hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Eat Blog Talk podcast. This is the place for food bloggers to get information and inspiration to accelerate your blog's growth and ultimately help you to achieve your freedom, whether that's financial, personal, or professional. I'm Megan Porta. I have been a food blogger for 13 years, so I understand how isolating food blogging can be. I'm on a mission to motivate, inspire, and most importantly, let each and every food blogger, including you, know that you are heard and supported. I'm not sure I've ever been so hungry after recording an interview. I just had this amazing interview with Jessica Mode from the blog Home Body Eats. She came to this interview to talk about going to culinary school and whether or not that's a good option for food bloggers. She went to culinary school in Italy for 3 months last year, and she had the best experience, and it has really helped her to round out her culinary skills, to learn about new ingredients, just become more proficient in the kitchen. She also took away so many valuable relationships and so many other things. And she talks about ways that going to a culinary school, if that is something that inspires you, can really help your food blogging business. She happened to go to school in Italy, so she talks a lot about Italian food and how they really focus on high quality ingredients and fresh ingredients, and dives into some of the foods they made, like pasta and bread and sauces. And oh my gosh, I'm starving. I hope you enjoy this episode, and I really hope you find inspiration from it. It is episode number 521, sponsored by Rank IQ. eBlog Talk is thrilled to unveil the eBlog Talk Accountability Group, an exclusive community made for food bloggers who crave accountability, focus, and connection. We understand that not everyone is ready to dive into the Mini Minds group or the Masterminds program. That is why we've crafted this special offering for bloggers like you who want that extra push toward their aspirations but aren't yet able to make the financial or time commitment. Here is what the eBlog Talk Accountability Group has in store for you for this low introductory price of $34 a month. This ongoing membership has its own private Slack channel. You will gain access to a dedicated channel facilitated by the community manager at eBlog Talk, Taryn Soli, for questions, insights, and collaboration. You will get weekly accountability check-ins so you can stay focused and motivated with those weekly check-ins in Slack to track and achieve your goals confidently. You will have access to productivity focus sessions. Join these optional live Zoom sessions twice a week to boost your productivity by working alongside your peers and tapping into that collective energy. And you will get monthly group Zoom calls, replacing the former Clubhouse chats. Join these calls to connect, discuss current topics, share experiences, and celebrate achievements. Those calls will be hosted by me, Megan Porta, and I can't wait to see some of you there. If this sounds intriguing, head over to eatblogtalk.com/focus to sign up today. eatblogtalk.com/focus. Jessica Mode created Homebody Eats in 2019 as a way to teach home chefs how to master new culinary skills and create high-quality dishes in their home kitchens. With every recipe, she hopes to teach her readers one new kitchen skill that they can master and use in a future recipe. While you will find a variety of recipes on her site, Jessica really enjoys baking and shaking up a good cocktail. Jessica has recently released her first online course, The Macaron Baking Experience, which teaches her readers how to successfully bake perfect macarons. In the coming year, Jessica hopes to release more online courses to share the skills she learned by attending culinary school in Italy. Good morning, Jessica. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a longtime listener, so very excited to finally get to talk to you.
Yay! I love having listeners as guests. It makes me super excited. We're going to talk about culinary school today, which is a topic we've never, ever covered here on eBlog Talk. I think this is going to be really interesting. But first, do you have a fun fact to share with us, Jessica?
I do. This is kind of like a throwback fun fact, but in elementary school, I used to be on a jump rope team, which is kind of a unique sport for kids to be part of. Ooh. Yeah, but we used to go to different schools and do our like jump rope performance as a team. We would do like double dutch, and then the kids at the other schools would watch us perform. So it was a really kind of like fun sport to be part of. And I'm not athletic, so it's also kind of interesting that that was something that I used to do, but I just picked up a jump rope recently to see if I could still do a lot of the tricks, and I do still have some of them in the back of my brain somehow.
Oh, it's like riding a bike. You never forget your jump roping skills.
Exactly.
So you did like, so people on either end, right? And then you would be in the middle, like doing all the fancy jumping.
Yeah. And then we also would have our own jump ropes. So we would kind of like jump in unison to whatever routine our coach came up with.
Oh my gosh. I have always seen those people on TV and I'm like, I wish I could be that cool. So you're that cool person.
Let me know if you want me to teach you.
I would love that. Okay. If I meet you in person, bring your jump rope and we're going to totally get into that.
Perfect.
Love it. Unique fun fact and also unique topic. I love what we're going to talk about. But to kind of frame our talk about culinary school, would you give us just a bit of a background about your blog? And I know you started blogging before you went to culinary school. So maybe talk about how that happened too.
I did. So I've kind of been a long time blog reader. I've always been somebody who is just interested in reading blogs, seeing all the recipes that people were creating. So back in 2019, I'm like, hey, let's just start a blog. I watched this long, like hour long YouTube video on how to set up your blog, how to get like a recipe card in there, and just went from there. I kind of blog about everything. So I like all different foods. It's really hard for me to pick one niche. So my kind of topic that I like to teach my readers about is just how to gain a new skill in the kitchen. So my hope with every recipe that I write is always to put some kind of skill in there that my reader can learn about and then learn how to master and use hopefully on a future recipe. So I've been really excited to just like start my blog, and it's just been building ever since then with, you know, more recipes and kind of gotten into like YouTube videos and filming online courses as well.
Okay, that's super exciting. And at what point were you like, okay, I need to probably go to culinary school, or you wanted to go to culinary school? At what point in there was that a thought?
So back in 2021, kind of right after, you know, we had all been home for a really long time, I started thinking like, okay, I want to keep getting better at writing recipes and learning how to cook. So although I've cooked for a long time and I'm that nerd who will sit and read culinary textbooks, I was like, okay, it's time for some hands-on experience. So I started kind of doing some research and being like, okay, where are culinary schools? And quickly started to realize that if I wanted to go to kind of the traditional culinary schools in the US, that they were either going to be in New York or LA, and they were going to cost, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 and take probably like a year. Yeah.
Gosh, that's a lot of money.
So being in St. Louis, I was like, this really isn't an option for my current lifestyle. I have to figure something out. So at this point, I was looking at a community college near me who had culinary classes, and I actually started to go to some of those. And by the time I went to 3 to 4 classes, I was just kind of like, this isn't what I want. They weren't just teaching the exact things that I personally wanted to learn. So I kind of put that on the back burner, and I'm like, if this is meant to be and I'm supposed to go to culinary school, I'll figure out a way to do it. So fast forward actually a year later, I was scrolling on TikTok and I found this TikTok of this girl who went to culinary school in Italy. And she was like, this is the best 3 months of my life. The TikTok had them throwing pizzas, making pasta, shaking up cocktails, all on this beautiful view of the sea in southern Italy. And I'm like, sold. This is what I have to do.
Did you go there?
Yes. That was actually the school I ended up picking when I finally was like, this is it. This is the school I want. And the school is called the Italian Culinary Institute, and it's in southern Italy in the Calabria region.
So, okay, what is the price difference? So you said going to school in the US was like $50,000, which kind of sounds crazy to me. I don't know why that was just like alarming number, but what is the price difference there?
So I paid right around $20,000 for the 3 months, and instead of like the traditional $50,000 to $100,000 that I was seeing on a lot of the schools.
Okay, so quite a bit different, and what an experience too. You get to go somewhere new in the world, experience a new country, and the food in Italy I'm imagining is amazing.
totally amazing. It's so good. Italians are just so good at having food culture really just ingrained in them. Even people who, you know, you don't think everybody, like when you meet people in the US, like, you know, a lot of people that don't like to cook. But for some reason in Italy, they just all have this like ingrained in them that they love cooking and they love food. And that's exactly what I loved when I was there, is just how it's just part of the culture naturally.
Okay. I have a feeling there's going to be like an influx of Italian Culinary Institute attendees, members, whatever. Okay. So did you continue blogging while you were going to school?
I did. That was the other nice thing about the program. I knew, so I had actually quit my full-time job. So I went in January to like a little early into April of 2023. And I had quit my full-time job back in November of 2022 when I had kind of replaced my income with my blog. So being like super new to being an entrepreneur and doing this full-time, I'm like, I know that I have to find a way to work. So luckily our classes were set up in a nice way where in the morning we would have a little bit of time to, you know, get ready and I would do a little work. Then we would move into like the hands-on demonstrations of the day in the morning and then break for lunch. And at the end of the day, we would do more like hands-on things ourselves. So it was nice because in the afternoon, I got some time to work on the blog. And while I couldn't obviously do like recipe testing and writing, I was able to kind of go in and tweak old posts, make new Pinterest pins, all those like VA tasks that we need some extra time for.
Do you feel like just the experience of being in Italy was just good for you overall too? Like obviously culinary school was valuable, but the experience of going somewhere new in the world and learning about their culture and their food? Do you feel like that just enhanced your life?
Absolutely. Yes. So I also studied abroad when I was in college. And I think that's kind of where it gave me the courage to do it again, like as an adult. I went to Madrid, Spain in college. And I was like, this is just such an awesome experience. But getting to do it around something that I love so much with food was just completely different. So we did a lot of like cultural excursions while we were there too, which was great because we not only got to see the Calabria region, but we also went to like Sicily. And then we would have some time, a couple of weeks in between the 3-month course to do our own traveling. So I was able to go to Florence, Rome, and do some of those kind of big cities in Italy as well.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I want to go. That sounds amazing. Okay, so I imagine you just took so much out of culinary school that has helped you with your blog. So do you want to talk through some of those things that have really shaped you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of my main reasons for going, I just really wanted to get better at being a good chef and a good cook. So one of the things I wanted to do was kind of learn and refine my techniques. So one of the things that it's Italy, you're obviously going to eat a lot of pasta. So yes. One of the things that we really learned how to do well was make pasta. So not only did we make handmade pasta and we made, you know, lots of different variety of pasta dishes from the different regions of Italy, but we learned the techniques for actually making a pasta dish. And this is funny because like as Americans, we make pasta a lot too. But how the Italians do it and their technique is just impeccable. So for example, we learned like not only do you need to salt your pasta water, but you also need to taste the pasta water, even though it's hot, you have to be careful, but to see like, do you have the right level of salt actually in the water before you even put the pasta in?
Oh.
Yeah. Super okay. Interesting.
So, I mean, do they use typically more salt than we do? We just throw kind of a pinch in, right? Here.
I would say a decent amount, more than you would think. And they use coarse sea salt specifically, which is also interesting. It's a very refined technique. And then the other thing that we learned really well was how to saute pasta. So, you know, here we normally make the sauce and then we make the pasta and kind of just combine them. But we learned how to make the sauce starting in like a saute pan and then cook the pasta just ever so slightly, really. You want it to still be hard when it's coming out of the water. And then finishing the pasta by cooking it with your sauce and creating an emulsion because, you know, Italians love their extra virgin olive oil. So when you add your extra virgin olive oil with your pasta water, it creates this delicious and creamy sauce. and it's like the perfect way to make pasta.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good. Yeah.
So learning things like that was really insightful. And that was just one example of many things that we learned. They crammed so much into 3 months. Every time I'm looking at my notes, I'm just like, how did we learn this much?
Okay, I could go on and on asking about the food because now you're making me super hungry. But let's see, how did some of the skills translate to food blogging? So maybe like, you know, developing recipes, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest things that I took away from school is actually kind of not even related to food, but it was more how to be organized and very composed in the kitchen. And I know when we're testing recipes, sometimes for me, it can look like a bomb just went off in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's like food everywhere. There's cookies cooling. There's, you know, a pasta dish that I'm testing. There's notes that I've kind of half scribbled on. And going to school, we had to do a lot that helped me learn how to be organized. So one of the things that helped most with this, we had what we called menu execution. And this is kind of like your version of a test in culinary school. We had to create a multi-course, usually like about 8 courses of a tasting menu. And so our class was pretty small. It was only about 20 people. But we would be split up into teams, and then we would have to compose this dish as a team. So obviously, each of us kind of took different portions of the meal and would be responsible for that. So having these menu executions really taught me to be good about having a prep list, making sure that I'm mise en placing or measuring all of my ingredients before I'm actually starting to cook, and really just stay organized in terms of like taking notes too, and like what I need to work on, what I need to finish. And this has been such an immense help in my recipe writing, because we all know, like with recipes, it's easy to accidentally put another number down and like flip measurements. And so I think just the organization I was able to gain was such a big help just with creating recipes in my own kitchen.
So not just organization in the kitchen, but also organization with how you develop and write recipes too.
Exactly.
Okay. And have you noticed like definitely when you've, since you've been back that like, yes, for sure, I am better at this. Does it just feel so much easier?
It does. It feels more effortless. I think there's just like this calming presence when I get into the kitchen. My routine is always in the morning. First, I need to put away all of my dishes. So that way I'm starting with clean dishwasher. And then I'm measuring out all of my ingredients. And this is a big one for me, making sure that whatever recipe that I'm testing is already out and written on my computer. I'm not trying to guess. You know, of course, we'll sometimes put like 3 cups ? And come back to it. But I still have a rough idea of what I'm testing, and I'm not just starting from scratch. And there's just this like calmness and like very, you're able to be so much more present when you're recipe testing.
Okay. What you just said is something that everyone is going to want, because I feel like a lot of food bloggers don't have that calm in the kitchen. It's just kind of chaotic, right? Like
exactly.
Before you went to Italy, you probably remember that kind of frazzled, like, oh, what am I doing? I have to catch up and do all of this crap. But now calm in the kitchen, that is so appealing.
It's so nice.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that too. Hello, food bloggers. Let's take a few moments here to chat about Rank IQ. You've heard me talk so much about this tool since I found it a few years ago. It just never gets old talking about it, and it continues to help me steadily grow my blog traffic year over year over year. In addition to that very significant benefit, there are other things I love about it that kind of fly under the radar and that I don't mention enough. So I want to mention some of those things here. One, you can click the orange plus sign next to each keyword in order to add it to your very own personal keyword library for easy access later. This makes storing and sorting through keywords a breeze. Two, did you know that you don't have to find a keyword in the tool in order to run it through the optimizer? A report can be run on any keyword under the sun, and the optimizer in Rank IQ is the best ever. And three, all of your optimized reports are saved on your home screen, and you are able to archive reports that you are done with. I love the organization inside the tool, and most importantly, I love the simplicity of the data presented. I never feel overwhelmed by it. Go to rankiq.com to check all of this out for yourself. Now back to the episode. Okay, what else did you learn just as far as like either skills or just anything else that you've noticed noteworthy change since you've been back?
One of my favorite things that we did was learning how to develop flavor through like really good quality raw ingredients. So Italian cooking is actually really simple. And what they focus on is very in-season ingredients with what they have access to them. So if you go to Italy, you'll notice that if you go to Milan, for example, you're not going to be eating the same dishes as if you go to Sicily in the south. They eat very regionally with what they can get their hands on, and that's what makes their food so good. So one of the things that we really learned was how to like try raw ingredients and assess the quality of those. One of my favorite things that we did, which sounds kind of weird, but we did an extra virgin olive oil tasting. This was like our first day. We sat down and we like immediately started sipping on extra virgin olive oil. Oh. So what we it's strange, but it's a good skill to have. Amazing. Because they wanted us to be able to taste like what a quality extra virgin olive oil tastes like compared to just a regular olive oil or even a very low quality pomace oil. So it was fun because we got to see firsthand how when you choose good ingredients, that translates into a good dish. And I think bringing that back to food blogging, you know, especially a lot of our readers don't like to go out and buy 40 ingredients for a dish. So it's really started to get me thinking, how can we use solid ingredients to make a recipe that tastes good, but we're not, you know, again, adding 40 different things and a sauce and all of this, but keeping a very composed and refined dish for our readers.
I can see how this might lead to just doing really high quality affiliate marketing too, because you select those ingredients that you really believe in that are high quality, and then you can authentically promote those to your readers. Have you done anything like that?
You know, I haven't, but I really should, because the first thing that comes to mind is like burlap and barrel spices. They are such good quality. And while they are more expensive, I really can taste the difference between just, you know, a generic store-bought version. So that's a great idea.
Oh, good. And then the oil thing, that is so interesting. So they had you just literally like sipping, taking little sips of the oil just to, you know, teach you what is quality and what's not. I cannot imagine sipping olive oil, but do you feel like you have a palate now for, you know, high quality olive oil?
I do. I actually, one of the first things I did when I got back was I published a video on how to taste olive oil to my YouTube channel, because you actually have to like make this funny sound because you're trying to get the flavor not only in your mouth, but in your nose so you can smell it too.
Oh.
So yeah, if you're interested, I can share that video with you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. Okay. What else did you learn from just school and the kitchen? Anything else?
Yeah, one of my other favorite things that I learned was just all of the cool people that came to this program. So, you know, we talk about networking a lot, just like in a professional setting. And I think this was interesting because networking to me always sounds kind of scary. You know, you have to go introduce yourself to new people. But this was a great way to network with a lot of other chefs and chefs that aren't doing just things like food blogging. I met like private chefs, people that worked in restaurants. One of my friends is opening up an event, like bartending kind of gig. And it was just really cool because they all have different ideas and different perspectives in the culinary world. And now it's really been helpful because I know we've all been at the point where we're testing a recipe and we're like, what am I doing wrong? How do I fix this? And it's really great because I now have friends who I know have the same training and background as me, who I can bounce ideas off of, and they can help me kind of troubleshoot, especially the baking recipes, if I get stuck. So I think just meeting people who are in the food world has also been invaluable to me. And I know that, you know, moving forward, these people are going to have really cool careers and really cool life paths. And knowing that we have that same shared experience, I think will be helpful if I ever, you know, need help with kind of figuring things out as I move forward.
Oh, totally. I think that's probably one of the best things about your experience is just those relationships and what the relationships can turn into. And like you said, like bouncing ideas off of them. Have you kept in good touch with all of them or some of them?
Yeah, I have. There's kind of like a core group of us that we've actually met a couple times since I've been, which has been really fun. Yeah. And then I try to, you know, talk either on Instagram or through, we have our WhatsApp group that we started while we were in Italy. So I try to chat with people as much as possible.
Oh, I love that. That is invaluable right there. Is there anything that you tried over there that you just like would not have been exposed to here, like as far as food goes?
Yeah, well, we had access to a lot of seafood since I was on the coast. So I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, which, you know, we being in the Midwest, we don't have a ton of access to fresh seafood. So that was probably one of the coolest things. We made these really delicious octopus sliders. They were, oh so good. It was sous vide octopus and then smoked mozzarella cheese with arugula and this tomato salsa. It was one of my favorite things. And another thing that was really cool is we actually did a week on charcuterie. So at the beginning of the week, we learned how to butcher an entire pig, which is definitely something I have never done here.
How did that go? What was your experience with that?
It was crazy. So there's obviously two halves to the pig. So we first watched one of the guest chefs come in and demo how to, you know, butcher it and kind of explain all the different parts. And again, Italians really care about their food. So they even were talking about how they got and sourced this pig. And then on the second half of the pig, we actually were the ones that kind of as a group disassembled it and then used it to make different things like prosciutto and cured sausages. And then we actually smoked them at the end of the week. So it was very interesting and something, you know, my cute charcuterie boards are nothing compared to this.
Do you have those boards on your blog? Yeah, I was looking at your blog. So you've got kind of just like fresh recipes. Do you incorporate anything like that into your blog now?
Not charcuterie in particularly, okay. But yeah, one of my goals for this year is to really start using the skills that I learned in culinary school and get a lot more Italian-focused recipes up on my website. So one of the things I've been doing lately is a lot of focaccia bread, which is so fun. I love making bread. There's just something so therapeutic about bread. So that's been one of my favorite things that I've been working on. And in Italy, like I mentioned, their food is very regionally based. So even focaccia, depending on what region you're in, they'll do it a little bit different. So in the Puglia region, they add tomatoes to their focaccia. In Tuscany, their focaccia is like a little bit thinner and it's used for sandwiches. So that's kind of what I've been working on lately.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Is there anything that you found over there that is like a good pairing that you would never have thought about otherwise?
Ooh, that's a good question. This one dish, it was a pasta and it had a pea puree and brown butter, which sounds kind of like an interesting combo. I don't ever think to use brown butter in the sense of like savory things.
Yeah.
And then it had fish on top. It was such a unique flavor combination. And I definitely would not have put that together, but so good and very like bright and bold flavors.
And do you use any of those kind of more unusual combinations that you learned there now with your blog?
Yeah, I would say just in kind of my own cooking for sure. I haven't yet brought a lot of these unique combinations to my blog. I think I'm trying to kind of talk to my readers a little bit more and see if this is something that they would be interested in learning, but definitely a possibility. Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't been too long since you've been back, so you have time.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And then I know Italy is really known for wine. Did you learn a lot about wine and how to pair that with food as well?
We did. So the whole program is set up that basically every week you kind of focus on something different. So we did 1 week that was focused on wine and then 1 week that was focused on cocktails. So for our wine, it was really cool because we did this analysis where we had 5 different cups of like our glasses of wine and they all had different varieties. So like reds, whites, sweet, semi-sweet, dries. And then we had different foods in front of us. So we had something that was salty, spicy, sweet. And what we did was we ate each of those foods and then sipped on the wine. And you could really see how like pairing a sweet apple with sweet wine worked, but how other combinations, you know, if the wine was too dry, that might not work with certain pairings. So that, I'm not great with wine. I want to become better, especially after this experience. But I think that really opened my eyes to how like pairing works and how important it can be to get a really the right glass of wine with your dish if you want it to taste and stand out.
That is such a magic science, isn't it? Like you can have like two different foods and drink the same wine and it can taste totally different depending
on. It's crazy.
It is. And then I also learned once, I did like was at a food blogger conference many, many years ago about how the shape of your glass affects the taste too. And I never realized how much that really, I mean, you hear that and you're like, whatever, it doesn't make that big of a difference, but it really, really does. Like depending on the wine, you need a certain shape. And then obviously the food makes a big difference. It's really cool.
Yeah. So lots to learn.
Yes. Okay. So you've mentioned a few times about how they use like really in-season ingredients and how they prioritize just like what food they have on hand, and then that determines what they make. Mm-hmm. Have you brought that into your blog, that concept?
Yeah. So I've been trying to do weekly emails with my email list and kind of cue them into all this stuff that I've been learning. While I was in Italy, I actually recorded a day-by-day video of what we learned just because I wanted that for my memories. And I also wanted to share in case people were interested in Italian cooking or going to culinary school, kind of what we learned. So I've been trying to share some of that behind the scenes and like how to stock your pantry or how to eat in season, specifically with people who read my newsletter, because I think it is really fascinating, especially when we live in a country where we can get strawberries all year round. But if you've ever had really in season strawberries in the summer, especially during like peak season, right when they're picked, they are so much better. And then learning how to also conserve those and make like jam. So that way, you know, you can have really good strawberries all year round was something I'm trying to share as well.
Yeah, it's really hard because we do have access year round to things. But it, like you said, it's not necessarily the best time. Like strawberries in January they're strawberries, but they're not very succulent and juicy, right?
So exactly.
Just planning your content out that way. Okay, so everything you've said is like, oh my gosh, yes, please. This sounds so delicious and it's like such a great experience. Is there anything additionally that you would mention that would be a benefit for a food blogger considering going to culinary school?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I've been out of college for a few years and this was just something for me that I wanted to do for myself. So I think investing in yourself in any way, whatever that may be, if you can't go to culinary school, getting an online course or, you know, doing local courses, it's just something that shows yourself that you're invested in this, and especially when it's your business. And I think also just for me, knowing that like I can do hard things and I can, you know, go to Italy for 3 months, figure it out, learn all this new stuff, come back and practice it. It's just something that I've been like, wow, like, yes, I did this. And if I can do this, what are all the cool things that I can do with my food blog as well?
Oh, I love what you just said. That, yeah, like obviously you took back basic skills and knowledge and like ingredient information and relationships, but the fact that you flew around the world and you did this thing that a lot of people wouldn't do, you put yourself out there. I mean, that had to be kind of scary, right?
Like totally.
A new part of the world. Going to school for a new skill. Oh, that is amazing. So now you probably have this newfound, just like, I can do this, you know, like confidence in yourself, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. Okay. Anything else you want to mention before we start saying goodbye, Jessica?
Yeah. So if this is something that you're interested in doing, going to Italy, I'm actually taking the leap and I am planning a retreat in 2025. So it's going to be a 10-day retreat that I'm hosting with the Italian Culinary Institute for, you know, kind of people who are connected to me through my blog or, you know, other food bloggers who are interested in going. I don't have all the details lined up quite yet, but it's going to be kind of the end of the year in 2025. And we're going to do lots of things. It's going to kind of be your like one-stop shop for learning about Italian food in a short amount of time. So we'll do pasta, sauces that you can use on different recipes. we'll do pizza, cocktails, and probably even some like fun excursions if, you know, that's something that you're interested in doing and maybe can't justify going to culinary school for multiple months at a time.
How do people find out more about that?
So I have a wait list, which I can share with you. And I'll kind of just be sharing information as I know more and as we've confirmed things on our end.
Okay, awesome. Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. I hope people take you up on that. I am starving now. It's only 9:53 a.m. and I want pasta and sauces. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect. Way to start the day. And nothing's going to compare to what you mentioned, like all of that amazing stuff. So thank you. You ruined my culinary experience for the day. I think I have like old salad waiting for me in the fridge or something.
Not quite as good as fresh pasta, but
no,
it'll do.
No, not nearly as good. But thank you for all of this. This was so inspiring. And again, like not a topic we've talked about. So I hope this really inspires people to consider something, doing something really bold and brave like you did. So
awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for being here. So do you have either a favorite quote or words of inspiration to leave us with today?
I do. So one of the things I live by is just that if you want to be good at something, you have to practice it a little bit every day. And so that's kind of what we did in culinary school. You know, we practice cooking a little bit every day, and I'm continuing to practice everything I learned at home now. So I think especially as food bloggers, there's so much we need to understand and learn in order to grow our business. So for me, it's just practicing a little bit every day and getting better.
Oh, love that. Thank you so much for that. We'll put together show notes for you, Jessica. If you want to go look at those, head to eblogtalk.com/homebodyeats. Tell everyone where they can find you, Jessica.
Yeah, so I'm on social media at homebodyeats or at homebody.eats, depending on the platform. And I'd love to connect with you. I love talking to other foodies and hearing about everyone's businesses and what they like to cook. So love to chat more.
Yes, everyone go check that out. And we will put the information in your show notes. We'll try to keep that updated about your wait list, Jessica. So check that out too. And thank you so much for listening. I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eat Blog Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you posted it to your social media feed and stories. I will see you next time.